puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Going to try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Soccer Matters is on the air. How are all of you today on the drive home? Thank you for tuning in. Maybe you're in your car driving home from work as we follow Jeremy and Joel listening to the car wreck segment. That was a lot of fun. Hoping you had a good Easter weekend. As always, the call-in number tonight, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. As always, Guillermo behind the glass. And thanks to Brian McDonald for getting things rolling for us tonight. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Cactus Music, Pitch 25 Beer Park, Hugh O'Connor's, Lamont Brands, and Capelli Sport. Big thank you to them for being involved with our show. The Monday podcast is up. We had John McClain on that show, and you can always find the podcast of this show at Spotify, Google, Apple, and ESPN. YouTube, Soccer Matters. Subscribe, pre- and post-match. Additional content there that we do. All right, guests tonight on the show, we've got G. Guerrieri, Texas A&M, legendary women's college coach. Incredible environment up there in stadium at A&M. Playing surface, obviously, at A&M is off the charts. Houston Dynamo manager Ben Olsen tonight on the show. Going to ask him about Sebas Ferreira getting his first goal. Also, Ferreira's injury situation, the reintegration of Hector Herrera, and more. It's three straight for the Dynamo on the road against Chicago this weekend. But I'm going to start tonight with Caitlin Clark and just the remarkable thing she is doing for women's sports, women's basketball. So first off, the LSU game went off the charts, 12.3 million viewers. 41 points for Caitlin Clark, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. Just incredible for women's sports in general, and women's sports truly is trending upward. Soccer is the most popular women's game in the world. It's being pushed forward globally because it is a global sport, but it's got also very big brands behind it around the world. The Chelseas of the world, the Manchester Uniteds, the Arsenals, the Barcelonas. These are massive brands that are now behind women's sports. All I would say about Caitlin Clark in this, and it has gotten all kinds of reaction, is just I don't understand why everybody is baiting each other. I understand that's a part of sports, but it gets a little bit nasty. This is a time to celebrate women's sports. And what she's doing. Little less on the baiting. Stop making it something it isn't. She is an amazing female basketball player. Brace it. Enjoy it. All-time leading scorer in NCAA college basketball. Men and women. 12.3 million viewers for Iowa and LSU. Breaking all kinds of records. And rest assured, I'm going to be watching the UConn game on Friday. So a couple of reference points here. These numbers, 12.3, outdrew every NBA game last year except one, and it was one of the games in the finals. It has outdrawn all of the men's Sweet 16 in the college game. I mean, as far as NHL and even college football, I think every game it outdrew except for one or two. NHL, MLS, you know, it's not even a factor. She is an amazing player, and this is what I think is so enthralling about her, and this is why I think it's really resonating a lot. First of all, the athleticism of the women's game, and I would even say with soccer and basketball, has grown immensely. But the thing that I think attracts her to people is the amount of varied skills that she possesses. She is the most well-rounded basketball player I've ever seen. And I know there's been a lot of great ones on the female side. She's got a vast array of passing skills. Ridiculous range of passing. So She can draw people and play the bounce pass in traffic through these small windows. She can whip a ball the length of the court with the vertical pass. I mean, it's every type of pass you can expect. She's a dribbler. Obviously, penetrators in soccer are no different than penetrators in basketball. You beat somebody, it draws somebody else, right? And you get players to overcommit. You get players to foul. She does that. She draws players in, finds the pass. She takes risk. It's high tempo for her. And there's no player on the court at the end of the game that makes more decisions with a ball in her hands. None. And she makes great ones. Relentless fitness, and cardiovascular. If you think about how many times she gets the ball, dribbles the length of the court, has pressure on her, she just does it over and over. She doesn't seem to get tired. So simply, Caitlin Clark makes those around her better. That's what the greats do. She's likely, she's probably the most popular female athlete in the world, I assume right now, in the United States. Globally, she's got to be drawing some power, I would think, as well. She's got incredible drawing power. She's changed the women's college game with the distance which she drains three-pointers. So she's hitting them from 27 to 30 feet with people on her, just like Steph Curry. And I think there was something where she designed this after Steph Curry. She wanted to be like him in the women's game for the three-pointer. So when you think about if her range is 27 to 30 feet out, but she's also got the perfect foil to that, which is a penetrating game off the dribble. I mean, you're not going to stop her. You may take the edge off, but you're not going to stop her. And by the way, she's hitting those 27 and 30 footers with people on her. Simply remarkable, I got to tell you. And I'm watching her, and I'm not even thinking male or female. I'm just watching what an incredible basketball player. Now, the WNBA has been growing, and when she is drafted number one, the league is going to get another great elevation. This is going to be great for the WNBA. I heard people saying, well, she's going to get the $5 million to play in that three-on-three or whatever it is. The WNBA is going to let her play in that. The WNBA can't tell her no. They need her more than, anything. So she's one of these players that are watershed moment type players that can elevate an entire game, right? Same thing with Pelé in the early stages in the North American Soccer League. At that time, the game wasn't even in the suburbs, really. Then you had David Beckham, brought a next level. And now you got Lionel Messi in MLS, if we want to compare just high-profile player signings that can lift a sport in a league. But all in women's sports stand to gain from her drawing power. From her drawing power and just what an intense competitor she is. Jeez. But I'm going to be watching Friday, Caitlin Clark in Iowa against UConn. So I was kind of thinking, who's the Caitlin Clark of the women's game? I think historically it would be Mia Hamm for me, because it can't be someone that's one-dimensional. Has to be somebody that affects a lot of the game in a lot of differing ways. Mia Hamm was a goal scorer, dribbler, penetrator, combination play, passing skills, multi-talented. Same thing. I don't know who it is in the modern game. Maybe Ayetana Bonmati of Spain. I think at a time it might have been Sam Kerr of Australia, or maybe Sophia Smith is the up-and-comer for the U.S. Give me your take. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight, 713-780-3776. And we're going to ask the head coach of Texas A&M, G. Guerrieri, when he's on in the next segment. He comes on live, and we'll talk to G about how he feels about Caitlin Clark and what she's doing for women's athletics. But the sell for women's athletics, to me, is not the extraneous. It's how good athletes they are. It's how competitive they are. It's how much work they put into their game. And it's elevating. Through my lens and calling women's soccer, going all the way back to, I guess maybe 96, is doing the Big 12 tournament. It's not even close, the level of athleticism now to then. It's not even close. Pretty incredible. All right, so that was an entire segment on Caitlin Clark. I didn't even get to the fact that Bayer Leverkusen, semifinals of the Pokal Cup against Dusseldorf. They haven't lost yet, Bayer Leverkusen under Xabi Alonso. Last night, Gignac scoring for Tigres, 1-1 draw for Columbus Crew. Diego Rossi getting one. Luis Suarez is scoring goals in the absence of Lionel Messi. So we got Inter Miami coming up next against Rayados of Monterrey at 7 o'clock on TV. Houston Dash got that road win we mentioned on the last show. And then today, Arsenal, 2-0 victory over Luton Town. And then you had Phil Foden getting a hat trick as Pep Guardiola resting a number of players, including Kevin De Bruyne. They get a 4-1 win over Aston Villa. So both of them hold serve. Tomorrow, Liverpool is in action. All right, quickly here, Brazil-Mexico. That's Kyle Field, June 8th. This is a warm-up match against Mexico prior to Copa America. This is the canary yellow of Brazil, the history of Brazil. Pelé, Carlos Alberto, Jairzinho, Zico, Socrates. All of these guys go on that field with that jersey. The new breed now is Vinicius Jr., Endrick, Rodrigo. LSSE 2024 to access right now, an offer for pre-sale. You go to LSSE.net. LSSE.net, that's where you go. We'll take a break. We're coming back. G. Guerreri, who is the head coach of Texas A&M, they will be hosting Brazil and Mexico at Kyle Field June 8th. G. Guerreri's next.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by the legendary Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to handle your case. It's DaspitLaw.com. They will work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. By the way, no fun getting in an accident, but when you do, sometimes you got to have the best in representation. That is John Daspit. All right. The next gentleman who joins the show, personal friend, over 30 seasons at Texas A&M, built the program from scratch, well over 500 wins. They've been to numerous Sweet 16, Elite Eights. They've been to the NCAA College Cup. In fact, I think I called that one. They've put players into the NWSL. But G. Guerreri, the head coach at Texas A&M, very connected to Houston as well, has always come down here and has helped out with charity clinics we've done with Kick Cancer. He's done countless clinics here promoting not only Texas A&M but the sport of soccer overall. He joins us now. G., how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. Doing great. It's great to hear from you always.
Yeah, it was nice chatting with you this morning, but I want to keep it rolling here because we got about 11 minutes, and I really want to get into a bunch of topics because I want people to hear your opinion. I just want you to take me into Caitlin Clark, the Iowa basketball player, and what she's doing for women's sports.
Well, I think it's great that you know she's been kind of a lightning bolt for people who you know maybe aren't really into the women's side of sports in general, and you know you hear commentary about how a lot of people who are maybe basketball fans are commenting that the women's basketball tournament is maybe better than the men's basketball tournament this year, which is kind of shocking to a lot of those people. And those of us who are you know who are in women's football, you know, women's football, especially on the professional side of things, is the fastest growing professional sport in the world right now. And, you know, just the women's game around the globe and especially here in America since 1999 when the women's national team burst on the scene with Mia Hamm and company, you know, women have been just, you know, set free and have made such huge strides. And it's been just great to see how they've, you know, been have made such great impacts on, you know, the lives of kids, but also now getting this recognition and really seeing such huge crowds. You know, the NWSL has had some amazing crowds this year. You see 20,000, 30,000, you know, all around the country. Even the Dash with a record crowd to open the season recently. So it's really been wonderful to see how America is embracing women's sport all around the United States, but really all around the world. You know, 90,000 to see Madrid and Barcelona play in a women's football match is pretty cool to see as well.
He's G. Guerrieri, head coach at Texas A&M. And another thing I want to make sure I say here is there have been so many people like G. Guerrieri that don't get a mention that have built the women's game, both male and female, and have protected it, have moved it forward. And, you know, this interview is kind of for all of those people out there as well that sometimes don't get the nod. But, you know, there have been just so many great male and female coaches in all the sports that have helped push it forward. Okay, Brazil-Mexico, Kyle Field on the campus of Texas A&M, June 8th. I mean, this is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, well, that's going to be on the men's side. And, I mean, as a total fan of the game, I mean, we're really excited. And, everyone here in Aggieland is over the moon about having, you know, the Mexican national team here. But for our first, you know, world football match to have Brazil come in and play, El Tri is going to be a really, really magical evening. It's a Saturday night. It's going to be a 7:30 kickoff at Kyle Field. And I think it's going to be a spectacular evening and a real opportunity because, you know, we're within 3 hours of 29 million people. So the opportunity to bring people in from North Texas and South Texas and really from so many different places for that many people to get here really easily should make it a lot of fun for a lot of people to get in and get out that evening.
By the way, Brazil-Mexico at Kyle Field, June 8th. You go to LSSE.net. Right now, if you plug in LSSE 2024, you can access a pre-sale. But they're going to go on sale, I think, tomorrow, actually. But you can get into the pre-sale really easy by just going to the website, lsse.net. Gee, we're seeing the byproduct of the growth of the NWSL next year. Maybe I think it's going to 16 teams. Jaden Shaw, Kennedy Fuller, Emery Adams, Barb Oliveira left college early from your program to go to the Houston Dash. We're seeing players now straight going into the pro game.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing to see just how well I think that young players are prepared and just the opportunities that the game is affording them to be able to step right in and, number one, to stay alive. You know, you and I can talk about when we were at that age that you were having to work two other jobs to stay alive if you're going to be an American, you know, professional soccer player. Well, now these women are stepping right into the league. And, you know, Kennedy Fuller is 16 and a half years old. She's from, you know, the Dallas area. She was the Gatorade Player of the Year last year in high school. And now she's in the starting lineup for Angel City in the NWSL and is doing tremendously well for them. You wouldn't believe that could ever happen just 5 years ago. And so you see that, you see Jaden Shaw and what she's been able to do for the national team. You know, this is another young woman out of right here in the state of Texas. And, Barb is a great story. She's from, you know, here in Katy, played for Katy Hopkins, another Gatorade Player of the Year for Hopkins and with the Albion Hurricane program. Was awesome with us at Texas A&M, was the SEC Freshman of the Year, helped us to win another SEC championship, and then, you know, was able to kind of take that after a couple of years, signed with Monterrey, and now is back with the Dash and is kind of living a dream and playing, you know, as a professional footballer here in her home state. And she was on the field, you know, there with their big win on the road at the Bay last game. So it's great to see these young women kind of achieving these lifetime dreams, and hopefully, you know, kind of putting some dreams into the heads of other young women to see that, hey, this is something that's achievable for you. It's not just about boys. And now USL Super League is going to be launched this coming fall as well. So it's not just 14 to 16 professional women's teams in North America. It'll be another 8 in the fall and expanding even more. So, you know, those opportunities will be there. And, you know, there's 348 Division I women's soccer teams in the NCAA. So an opportunity to not only get your education through the game and set yourself up for life that way, but also to have an amazing experience and to earn a living while you still can be a top-end professional athlete. It's an amazing, it's an amazing times. It's something that prior to the 99ers coming through, who would have thought? Who would have thought that this would have been available for women? And I know a lot of people would have said, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that this would have ever happened. And for all those people, you know, shame on you, because in America it has happened, and it's just getting better and better.
Well, a lot of those people may actually be big fans of the game now. So, you know, it's amazing.
Season how ticket holders.
Yeah, it's amazing how it goes. G. Guerrero, Texas A&M. G, before I let you go, through your lens, just tell me, you know, I was just thinking about when I started in television, was calling a lot of women's soccer, and how just the absolute quality, the athleticism, all of this has grown. I just want to kind of hear that take from you.
Well, it is. And so I think that the next thing now for that we've got to show, and that people have got to see the decision makers, especially at the college level, is that, you know, women's soccer is, you know, it's the largest participation sport at the youth level. You can see now it's the fastest growing sport at the professional level. Now, at the college level, you know, athletic directors need to see that this is a potential moneymaker for them. This is a potential revenue source for their athletic departments. All they have to do is invest in it, because these women are, it's across every racial line that they have. My program here at Texas A&M, it's a 3.47 grade point average. It's the highest grade point average on our campus. These are incredible representatives of the university, and these are winners all the way around. So you can fill your stadium. You can find people who are going to be great representatives, and these are people that are going to be great competitors, and they're going to give back to the society. These are incredible, incredible citizens that want to be here in our society as leaders. And I tell you what, it's so fulfilling to be able to work with these young people, because they're remarkable. And a lot of it is because of the societies that they live in, the communities that they live in. We're really lucky to be able to work with these kids.
Let me just cut in real quick. Like tactically, let's just say, how has this challenged you as a coach, as the youth community started supplying you with better and better players? How did it challenge you and your staff?
Well, it's challenged us because we're having to break down better and better teams. You know, it's not just a matter of where you could just beat teams by having a better group of athletes than the other team. Now you're playing against teams that have got, you know, they're well organized, they're very well coached. Now you've got to be able to beat teams in combinations of 2, 3, and 4. You know, player units. You've got to be able to have the understanding of being able to beat people, not just in individual movements, but you've got to be able to beat them in transition. You've got to understand that these are teams that are, you know, adept at beating you in a variety of ways. And especially for us now in the SEC, you have every night is a new type of challenge, and there's all kinds of varieties, all kinds of spices and everything else. So it makes it, that's all because of the kind of kids that are coming to these schools and playing. So it's, for us, it's a great laboratory of challenges that we get a chance to take on all the time. And that's because of, you know, the communities that these kids are coming from and the coaching that they're receiving at the youth level, but also at every step along the way, and the kind of kids that they are. They're very competitive, they're smart, and they're always looking for new challenges.
He's the one and only G. Guerrieri, 30 seasons plus at Texas A&M, built the program from scratch. By the way, if you ever get the chance to go up there and catch A&M women's soccer, it is worth the drive. You get some barbecue on the way. The absolute environment is intimate. It's perfect playing surface. The stadium is gorgeous. It is specifically for women's soccer. G's just done an amazing job both on and off the field. And I really thank you for coming on tonight, G. Fascinating interview. Thank you for all your takes. We'll get you on soon, okay?
Thanks, Glenn. You guys have a great week. And again, congratulations on everything down there in Houston. And we look forward to seeing y'all soon.
All right. That's G. Guerrieri. There he goes. One of the legendary coaches in all of women's soccer in the United States. By the way, SEC, Texas will be in it next year, so you're going to get some great rivalries kind of revisited. All right, this is Happy by the Rolling Stones, April 28th. I'll be there. Will you? That's what I'd like to know. All right, we'll come back. We've got Ben Olsen. We're going to go deep on a lot of things. Hector Herrera, Sebas Ferreira, a lot to talk about there with Ben Olsen when we come back. I do want to remind you again, though, Brazil-Mexico, Kyle Field, June 8th. This is a warm-up game for the Copa America. And then we've got Mexico-Jamaica here. We got Colombia-Paraguay. We will have one of the Colombia national team players. I don't want to reveal it yet because I have to 100% confirm it, but I should have one of the Colombia national team players on the show next week to be interviewed. And Colombia is one of the hottest international teams in the world right now. So Brazil-Mexico, LSSE 2024 to access the pre-sale right now. And you can do that at LSSE.net. You can also get your Copa America tickets over there. Plus, your inner Miami Tigris with Lionel Messi coming to town. We'll take a break. We come back. Houston Dynamo coach Ben Olsen.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Bossy to take it. Ferreira, Aliyu, Mikael, all targets. It swung in. The header, saved Yarbrough. Shotta scores. Escobar's done it. Escobar's done it. It's 2-1 Houston Dynamo. Franco Escobar has done it.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We continue on tonight. We end in big, big style here. Before I let you get into the interview with the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Ben Olsen, quick reminder here, LamontBrands.com. You get the Soccer Matters t-shirts, hats. We have red, we have orange for Dynamo fans. And Dash, all the proceeds to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation for pediatric cancer fight. All right, here he is, Ben Olsen, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Ben, feeling pretty good now. 9 points in three games. That's a nice little cushion right there.
Yeah, we, you know, head coaches don't feel good. It's part of our nature. In fact, sometimes when
wait a second, is that true? You don't ever feel good.
It's occasionally. Yeah, occasionally. during. You know, there's always something next, and that's
why did you choose this miserable life of coaching?
I'm not sure. I ask my wife this all the time. Like, wait, why did I go into this? I didn't choose it. It chose me in some ways, but we are getting some results in different ways, and you know, we have had a lot of home games, so you know, there is a little bit of that going, some of that home cooking that we like. But you know, the Colorado win was thrilling for us, and getting something on the road, getting 3 points on the road, and in that fashion. Recently, you know, we've It's taken us till late to figure out, you know, how to get some of these points, but that also shows some of the resiliency of this group right now. And that's a nice thing to have in your bag, that belief that you can win late. And particularly early in the year, we were giving up some goals late that cost us. So we talked a lot about that and fixing that, and that seems to be moving in the right direction. But you know this league, Glenn, and it's so difficult every week. And now you're going back on the road for Chicago and a few road games in April. It'll be a very tough month. So that's where our focus is, of making sure we're going to be a really tough team to play against on the road. Try to keep getting guys back healthy and figure out, you know, still our best group. And then work on some of the things that we feel that we're deficient in, and you know, hammer home some of the good parts and kind of the automatic parts of us, and make sure we're not complacent in those. But also, again, work on moving this team forward, because as much as we're playing the same way and we're trying to, there's still different personnel here that are new and they need reps, they need information. And so that's still ongoing throughout the week, of just trying, you know, with the message of just let's get better.
Ben Olson, Houston Dynamo head coach, joining us. Obviously, you led me into the next question. Some of those areas that you do want to improve, what mostly would be those? You got a multi-goal game here in a comeback situation against San Jose, which was impressive.
Absolutely. You know, they bail us out with a red card. But I'll say, you know, when they got the red card, it was, you know, sometimes it's part relief that, you know, we're going to play up a man. But again, the objective becomes so narrow and clear for them now that you know, it's very, very difficult to break a team down when their sole objective is to prevent you from scoring. And so that I was proud that we were we went about it in the right way. We were patient on it. Yes, it took, you know, maybe too long to get the goals, but we were still, you know, confident. It seemed like we were going about it in the right ways. The subs came in and gave us a real boost. I think tactically the coaches, the guys that are, they're helping make adjustments, I thought really gave some great information to me to help put the right people in the spots to break down a team that was very, very committed to not letting us score. And they were gritty. So yeah, it was the hard way. Again, all the results have come different ways so far, which is nice that we're able to win games in different fashion.
Ben Olson, Houston Dynamo head coach, on the road at Chicago this weekend. You'll catch that on Apple TV. Ben, you know, going back to the fact that Preston Judd got off, I almost looked like he was begging to get sent off because he was coming in late on people. And if you were putting money on someone, it would probably be him. But, you know, I'm looking down at you when that happens and I'm saying, I wonder if Ben likes this or not, based on kind of what you said. Would you have preferred him not to have been sent off and this game remained open?
It's a tough one. We ended up winning the game. And so I don't, it's a hard one to kind of go back. I will say this, after the goal, after, you know, a little bit of a sloppy start, we played really well. I mean, up until the red card, I thought we had a really nice balance. We were creating chances, and, you know, I thought the game was going in the right direction, put it that way. And then life happens and a red card happens and you have to adjust. And that's what these games are about. You know, you go in with a game plan, and so many times the game plan, you know, gets thrown out the window because of the game happens. Whether it's a different lineup, a different structure from the opponent, you get an injury. Now you have to change something. There's just so many variables to this. So the game day experience is a wild one, and you have to be on your toes.
Three in a row for the Houston Dynamo now, as they knock off San Jose 2-1, comeback victory goals from Sebas Ferreira and then Franco Escobar. Look, I know you're going to push this to the side. I think I know you well enough that you're probably not going to accept a lot of what I'm about to say, but there are games you can say coaches make great moves that make a difference, certainly in Colorado getting Brad Smith on. But in this one, in the 57th minute, I thought a great move from you to bring Brad Smith on and then move Franco Escobar to the right side of the field. I mean, this to me kind of changed the game in a way.
Well, I think there was a compliment in there, so thank you for that. You know, I don't like those, so stop those. Franco did a great job. You know, Franco loves the center back position. You know, in some ways he's playing out of position on that left side, but we think it works for us in the way we play. And I think he knows that as well. But we know we can use him as a center back role. And as the future comes for him, that may be a spot that makes more sense for him down the road. So it's something we've wanted to try, in particular when we need to have a little bit more offense going forward. And because of the man advantage, it just made sense in the moment. And then Brad's a pretty logical one in those scenarios. You know, you want to get overloads out wide and get service when a team is bunkered in that way. And I didn't think we had the width there, kind of with Ibra and Franco on the left side. So that's a pretty basic one, but it was they subs came in with the right mentality. And again, what I liked about it is there was a confidence in the group the way we played. It was patient, but it was fast. The tempo was high. They were sharing it, and it wasn't just pumping balls in the box over and over and over. It was, you know, probing in the middle, okay, coming wide, okay, wasn't on, you know, and making sure that they were still high percentage opportunities to go and score and not being haphazard about it. So we did some film work on it. You know, there's still some things that we can learn from that game because it'll happen again. We'll be in that scenario again this year, and it's important for our guys to be well-versed in who we are up a man, who we are down a man. And when these scenarios happen during the year, it's nice to double down on them because it's sometimes hard to prepare for that in the preseason when you want to play 11v11 all the time because that's the majority of your minutes over the year. It's hard to prep for that. So you use these times to teach.
Brad Smith comes in immediately, gets two really good balls in, and then has a great chance. And then, of course, Franco Escobar scoring the game-winning goal, which was not an easy finish. It didn't seem to be, but what an moment for him.
It was a great moment. It's a great moment for our fans. You know, last two games, you know, the little some thrilling drama towards the end, and that's important too. And again, sending these, you know, the fans that were around, they're going home happy. And you know, I said it before, that's a huge goal here, is to make sure the people that show up are leaving happy and proud of their team. And there's nothing that makes me more happy than to see, you know, after the game's going, people proud of the team and proud of the effort and proud of the result.
Ben Olson joining us, HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get tickets for the home games. Just down the road is Austin FC. Ben, I don't know. I felt a sense of relief for Sebas Ferreira in the booth when he scored. I got
to. So did I.
A lot of people felt that way, and you just felt a sense of joy for a guy that hasn't scored goals in a long time.
I'm right with you. You know, I'm ultimately I got some fan in me, and you know I'm a fan of him. You know, this has not been an easy process for him since the day I got here. You know, wasn't in the plans mostly last year, and alone, and come back. You know, not having a successful stint in Brazil necessarily. And we start over. And, you know, it goes to show you, you know, again, what type of, you know, he's got the character to say, okay, you know, didn't work last year. This year's a new year. You know, we've been clear to him that he's our starting nine this year. And he's going to have a chance to prove that he's going to continue to be our starting nine. So this is the opportunity it was given from us, and he's taken it. And I think, you know, he's been unfortunate with the injuries. It's been nice to have him for the last, you know, 5-6 games, but this is life. And we have to now nurse him a little bit. You know, he took the knock in the game. We think he's fine, but he's still day to day. So this is, you know, another chance for him to prove this weekend in Chicago.
The type of goal he scored, is that the type of goal that sometimes the Dynamo are missing? Just a goal scorer's goal, a quick turn in a box, a hit, and a goal?
That's it. That's in that. That's exactly what it is. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Is that what we've been missing? I don't know. We've been able to score enough goals to kind of do our thing and get results. But, yeah, it's nice to get a little deflection goal from, you know, a forward that understands it's a touch hit in a tight space and doesn't have to be overly intricate at times. And, you know, he's also – we know he has a wealth of areas that he can score goals in, and whether it's his head, whether it's free kicks, you know, his fox in the box smelling it off a service, and little scrappy stuff. You know, these guys, again, have good number nines. You know, you don't have to teach that stuff and how to get the ball in. They smell it, and they just have a different instinct than the other positions.
So in the case of this year and last year, I mean, it was an unbelievable collective defensive effort. It was the best possession team, I say this, that I've ever seen in Houston, and I say that respectfully. But are you going to need more multi-goal games this year? I mean, can you do it again like you did last year? Really thin margins, a lot of pressure, maybe not always ahead in games. And
we go into this, right? We want to be the best defensive team in the league, right? So I'd say we get maybe a little bit of credit for kind of the offensive part, but, you know, that's still where we're hanging our hat. And that's what we have to do is put out shutouts, one-goal games. So in that scenario, if our defense can hold up, we can win games 1-0. Yeah, the more goals we score, says Captain Obvious, the better chance we're going to have a chance to get all 3 points. So we'd like to continue being, you know, we're greedy, right? We want to have the best defense in the league, and we want to have multiple goal games. That's the goal every game. But again, if I have to choose one, right, I'm going with being a really, really stingy defense, because again, that always gives you a chance.
He's Ben Olsen, year two with the Houston Dynamo. Everybody knows him from DC United. All right, so I'm walking out of the stadium, kind of getting out of the stadium, and I go by the bus of San Jose, and I run into Luchi Gonzalez, and we start talking about the game, and he says to me, "Watch out when Hector Herrera comes back." What do you say to that?
Yeah. Listen, we can't wait. Yeah, we can't wait. But we don't spend, you know, we're so focused right now as a group, you know, trying to get results without Hector. You know, it's going to come, right? It's going to come in the next few weeks-ish, you know, sometime in April. Hopefully we can get him on the field. But again, this return to play is going to be day-to-day and week-to-week. You know, he's going to take two steps forward, one step back. We don't know how this is going to really go. When he gets back, of course, the level – the potential level can be raised, right? And that's our hope. That's we trust that can happen. But that's not going to just Hector jumps on the field and we become you know, this incredible team. It's still going to be a little bit of a transition period for others to get to know Hector again. Hopefully it's seamless. Listen, it'd be great, and I wouldn't be surprised with the quality that he has to blend back in right away. But, you know, we're going to, you know, where's he at physically? What's his fitness level? So it doesn't just happen like that. So we have to be cautious of that. But yes, hopefully we can bring him along in the right way. Hopefully he gets completely recovered from this kind of minor surgery, and we can be the team that we all want to be.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I think, you know, the common thought is going to be, okay, Hector comes back. It's seamless. He's integrated.
I wish.
Team.
I wish.
But
yeah, doesn't
listen,
happen.
Guys have been doing things differently in his absence, right? Like, you as a coach and your staff have been doing things differently. So it will be a process, right?
I think it'll be a process, but mostly physically. Okay, where's he at physically from where he needs to be to make us play at the level we can? And, you know, how do we filter in those minutes, and what do we do in the training loads, and how do we collectively, the sports science and trainers, all really get him to just move forward? And that moving forward process, to when he gets 90 minutes fit, okay, yeah, if that's going to be
that's what we all want, and we can't wait. But there's a month in there that we have to be very, very smart and cautious about how we blend that in. And that's kind of where our head will be, you know, kind of now until he comes back. And then it will last for several weeks before he's 90 minutes fit, because he hasn't had a game in how long, right? LAFC.
Last one for you, Ben. We'll let you go. Thanks very much. Chicago Fire, your old friend Frank Lopez there. Not off to the best start record-wise, but as we all know, Major League Soccer is dangerous. They've got Shaqiri. They're 1-3-2, 12th in the East. How about a thought or two on them?
Well, he's a world-class player, and so these type of players are able to change games, whether it's set pieces, whether it's run a play. He's certainly a player that anybody that plays the Chicago Fire is going to have to be concerned with. You know, they're moving some things around, and I think they're tinkering, and they've got had some injuries, and they've got they got a red card last week, so certainly a better team than their record would state. And I told the guys when I went to Colorado, I've been doing this a while, and I've never had an easy game in Colorado, and I'll say the same thing: I've never had an easy game in Chicago. It's a little colder, it's a little windy, and it they give you everything. So it's the MLS. You're on the road. It's a tall task, just as it is going anywhere.
I know I said that was the last question, but one more I just want to hit you with. Haven't been in D.C. so long with all the international competition that comes through there. Now being in Houston, we've got Copa America, we got Brazil coming to College Station, you got Leagues Cup with Inter Miami and Tigres. When you look at that in the big picture, I'm assuming you're going to say this is a good thing for the Houston Dynamo, but there's a lot of choices for people out there now.
Yeah. There's a lot of choices now with television and what to do, how to spend your Saturdays. It's a good question. As a fan, you know, I was talking to my son last night. I was watching ESPN or something, and I was watching the CONCACAF game, and they showed the Euros popping in June, and then the Copa America popping in June, and all these other schedules. Like, I was trying to explain to him like how much quality is coming this summer,
great
for viewing audience, both in person and on television. Right, so I don't know. We'll see. It usually does have a spike, right? When it becomes soccer fever time. You know, people want to see it live, but there are options, and there's a lot of options coming through Houston. So I think it's great for Houston. I think it's great for the average fan that wants to see, there may be people that resonate with a certain country that are coming here. I think that's a wonderful thing. But hopefully we can capitalize on some of that soccer fever and get more people out to the Dynamo. The people that are showing up are still giving us everything, and it's loud, and it's still a great atmosphere. But as I said, every week here since I got here, it can be better. And we got to keep winning games. That's our job. We got to play entertaining soccer. Front office is working very hard to do their part to sell tickets. And so this is a collective effort that we got to continue to work as an organization to make sure we're trying to get to where a lot of these other places are in attendance. And hopefully the buzz this summer will help that.
Ben, listen, thanks very much for coming on. As always, great insight for our listeners. Best of luck in Chicago this weekend until we talk again.
Okay, buddy. See you, Glenn. Thank you.
All right. That's Ben Olsen, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Great way to end it here tonight. By the way, if you want to experience the closest thing to a live match, you do it at Pitch 25, largest soccer beer garden in Houston. It's the place for you. They got 70 screens down there, 100 beers on tap, beautiful indoor soccer field. Pitch 25, ultimate fan destination for Copa America, the Euros, as Ben Olsen was just talking about, World Cup qualifying, all this stuff going on this summer. I mean, it's going to be incredible. Head over to 2120 Walker in Edo, and it's Houston's go-to soccer bar, Pitch 25. Also, Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Bangers and Mash. They've got all the traditional British food. great whiskey offerings, great beer offerings. You heard in Monday's show, John McClain, the general, goes over there to watch Liverpool sometimes. So there you go. So John McClain hangs out over there. So it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. That's going to do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Guillermo Lazo Romero, our producer. Spotify, Apple, Google, get the podcast there. Get it at ESPN975.com. And big weekend for the Houston Dynamo. Great to see the Dash get a result. And it's onward and upward. The soccer content is off the charts right now. Until next Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.